There is a custom that goes back a few decades at least, where maybe longer than that, in sending Christmas cards to people, someone in the family would write a letter. This morning, I'd like to replicate that in a way that requires some imagination. Imagine a Christmas letter coming from the Old Testament real-life person, Abraham. Dear children of mine in Christ, I don't like to think of myself as a famous person, although the Bible has many passages about my personal history and my status as Patriarch of Israel. I'm no stranger to you. You know me from Sunday school and what you read in the book of Genesis, where you hear about me and my son Isaac. He was the key to my future and also yours. He was the proof of God's power and the token of his love. And yet he was nothing more than a box that delivers the actual gift. He was a temporary gift that led to the permanent one, the Savior, the one person you and I share as all important. You have a custom of buying presents and exchanging them with each other. Think back to some of the Christmas gifts you received over the years. Where are they now? In the back of a closet? Regifted to somebody else? In some landfill? Isn't it true that your greatest Christmas gift does not break or wear out or become obsolete? It's there for you every day, even if you forget. It came from God through Adam and Eve, through me and Isaac, through Mary. God gave you the very best when he gave you his son. For me, the coming of Christmas has always been about the waiting. My whole life has been a pattern of God planning and me waiting for his directions. He told me to leave my father's house and go to a place that he did not specify right away. He kept the location a secret. I had to wait for the moment when he identified Canaan as the land of my inheritance, the land that my descendants would receive. In retrospect, though, I can see the wisdom of God's plan. He pulled me out of a place where people replaced him with idols. He kept me isolated from the sinful lifestyles that tormented my nephew. Remember Lot and the foolish choice he made to live in that awful city? That's when God said to me, "All the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." Even though God promised a future land for my people, I never had a town or a city where I could lay down roots. God kept me moving from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, Shechem, Bethel, even Egypt. So many stopping places that were little more than campsites. I had no real home on earth, as the book of Hebrews talks about it. God had me wait for a better place, the heavenly Jerusalem where I live now. I'm not a special case, you know. There's something better in store for you than your current address and your current life on earth. Don't get attached to your life in this world. You're going to move one day. You're going to join me in that heavenly location. God wants you to be like me, people who wait for God's direction, people who sojourn in this world like strangers passing through with their focus on a better life in a better place. I had to wait 175 years before God took me home. Your lifespan is shorter, but your situation is no different. You wait for your time of departure. You wait for the Savior to return as promised. You wait for God to answer your prayers and provide what you need. You wait and you wait for things beyond your control. Waiting requires patience, a willingness to leave your situation in the hands of God, who does not consult you. He doesn't seek your permission. He decides unilaterally. He lays out a plan whose details he keeps to himself at times. He has you wait in the dark, so to speak. It's difficult to do because it goes against the grain of how we are by nature. We want to be in control. We like to be in God's position. That has always been the problem. You and I asserting our will, taking matters into our own hands, assuming the role of God. We keep adding to a garbage pile of sin that first began with Adam and Eve. That's why Christmas will always be important. It began as a promise in the garden. After the flood, God directed the promise through Shem, and then later on through me. As I waited for God's next move in my life, I always had the promise as a fallback, my refuge and compass in this world. Let's put it into perspective. I was 75 when the promise of a son was made. I was 100 when the promise was fulfilled. Sarah was 90. There's no denying what the miraculous power of God had done for us. We received a miracle child. The wait was finally over. My faith was not in vain. The Lord had kept his promise. Now think about that mountain where I almost had to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. That's where I also met Jesus, the angel of the Lord, who spoke to me. He gave me a glimpse of what he was planning to do himself. He let Isaac go and put a substitute in his place, a ram caught in the bushes, a ram that I then killed and offered up to God. One day, Jesus would be just like that ram, a substitute sacrifice for you as well as me. That's the meaning behind the prophecy that you've heard. God said to me, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Jesus, my descendant, would be the one who would make your life better off, even though you are not Jewish. He would be the one to take your place, offer up himself as the payment of your debt, and allow you to go free from the judgment and the punishment of sin. He would bless you with the proof of God's love, the certainty of God's forgiveness, and your hope of eternal life. Since you are Gentiles, you are not my descendants in the ethnic sense, but that's okay. You're still my children, according to the Bible's own definition. Those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I look forward to seeing you in that heavenly city, your real home as the inheritance that comes from the Heavenly Father. It's only a matter of waiting. Wait for God to do what he said he would do. You can trust his promise. You can trust him to treat you with the same faithfulness that he treated me. With that in mind, Advent blessings to you all in him, Son of God and Son of Abraham. We'll close this morning with hymn 705, all stanzas. Hymn 705.